Great.
Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Tommy.
Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning.
Don't worry about the mic stands. I look better this way anyways. That voice you hear is Sarah Nissler from EA.
Oh,
good
thanks
morning,
for getting
Sarah.
It right this time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, we can go back to Roberta if you want.
It's not bad.
We were chatting yesterday, and I said, see you tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. And she,
what?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I've got Air Venture Brain already, so I'm screwing up details. So she told me she was going to call me George, after which I said I would call her Roberta. So
nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for coming in this morning. Mm-hmm. So you've been pretty active, let's say, on social media over the last year. And you've been pretty active in general, working on getting your pilot's license. So when did you actually start?
End of October last year.
Okay. So couple months, basically after you get Air Venture out of your system and
right.
relax a little bit.
I got bored after that.
Right? Now what do I do? This is not chaotic enough.
Right.
So, and then you began your journey, and you spent a lot of time documenting it on social media, which was interesting from outsiders' perspectives to watch that. At least it was for me.
Oh,
I know Jim and I have talked about it before. And just to see you go through from the very beginnings and you know, studying ground school stuff and actually flying and starting off in a tailwheel too.
Yeah.
So what did you start flying a Cub, right?
I did, yes.
Okay.
I was one of the unpopular people that was like,
yeah.
Really? Yes, I remember now that you've been there.
Yeah.
You're like, what are you doing?
I remember
doing?
That. Well, I thought it. Okay, so I've,
no,
I've
no,
taken
starting at a tailwheel wasn't my point.
That
was
wasn't the problem.
No.
Okay, I thought that was weird.
Piper Cubs fly so uniquely
cool.
That I don't like the idea of a Piper Cub as a primary trainer.
Yeah, he's very opinionated.
Yes.
So don't mind him.
That was my issue, you know, and it. I mean, I've got so many hours in Cubs. We actually just sold our Cub a year and a half ago, I think.
Okay.
It was. So, I mean, I've got time in the Cub. I like flying the Cub enough. It was not my favorite plane. I just don't see it as a primary trainer, from my opinion.
Sure.
However, and of course, when you say anything negative against a Piper Cub, you get just flamed online.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, get ready.
So, you know, it is an interesting decision, though,
yeah.
to start with the tailwheel and to start with the Cub.
Mm-hmm.
How did you end up there? Like, what made you start there?
I think probably because my favorite flying experiences have been in tailwheels. And
okay.
That's kind of where I want to ultimately go.
Sure.
And I have had the opportunity to learn
okay.
that way. So I have mixed feelings about how I went about my training
okay.
now after being through it. But that's where I want to get back into. I don't know if it's a Cub or not,
mm-hmm.
but it was...
Okay.
So I wanted the experience because I could.
So do you have your tailwheel endorsement?
Technically,
yeah.
I wouldn't jump into a tailwheel right now and fly it because it's been since probably April or so since I've
sure.
flown it.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But I do.
So you transitioned at one point from the Cub to what?
172.
And why? at what point did you decide, okay, well, now I'm going to switch?
Well, I needed some of the training I had to do post-solo. I couldn't do in the Cub, and I actually didn't go right to a 172. I went to a Piper Warrior for
okay.
About five lessons or so, and I didn't like it at all. So luckily EA has a flying club with a 172, so I took a flight in that, and I liked it so much more that
mm-hmm.
that's what I decided I needed to finish in. And I got to the point where I'm like, I just need my license. And it was taking a longer time in the Cub for me to keep moving forward. So
sure. So you had some interesting study habits along the way, I'll say, that you documented.
<Did I? laughs>
You had the nerdiest high school girl, noted up book I've ever seen in my life. And I've seen a lot of people study for their private pilot or the bar or any number of other, you know, intricate exams. And I think a lot of people agreed with me because I saw a lot of comments talking about just how much you had denoted everything with little page tabs.
Oh,
so
on
much
the fire
so.
Game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My God. How much, you know, how much time do you think you actually spent doing that? Let's just say tabulating the fire aim.
Definitely a few hours for sure.
I would imagine.
I don't have a life though, so it really didn't matter.
Well, I mean, you spent it doing something interesting, anyway, yeah. Obviously something you enjoyed. But there was a lot of documentation in there. How intimidated were you when you went to take your test?
Oh,
your test.
Oh, so my written test?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think by the time I took it, I was so confident that I wasn't too worried. I was not worried about failing it, but I really wanted 100%.
That doesn't sound like you at all.
So that made me, like, that gave me stress. But
and how'd you do?
I got a 98.
Oh,
I got a really stupid one wrong, too. It's just so frustrating.
Do you remember what it was?
Yeah, the emergency transponder code.
Oh,
I didn't really study that much before. So.
Well, because you're going to be a perfect pilot, and you're never going to have to worry about that, right?
Yeah.
Right. However, so failure. Let's talk about that for a minute. So the thing that I most enjoyed was you had the guts to talk about the things that didn't work,
yeah.
And you failed at, and the stresses of it, and the. How am I going to get this done? How am I going to get back into these things? That was the learning moments for yeah. what I saw. And frankly, I think from the social media consumer level people, that was the inspiration for some of that was
absolutely
when you were showing us here's how this is a problem, and then when it worked, it meant more.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I would have never been able to get through this whole process without the community's support. So I had to be very open about what I was going through because I knew I couldn't do it alone. So it was just really important for me to be honest. And I know how many people struggle. I know how many few people make it through training. So I wanted people to know that they're not alone, I guess, in it. And it was just, it's just what I needed to get through it.
You said that you might have a different perspective on how you, I guess, maybe could have or should have done things. So tell us about some things you might have done differently, looking back now.
I think, I wouldn't have changed anything at this point because I don't ever feel that way about
sure.
anything I do in life. But
same.
I think because now I kind of I have to go back and retrain myself a little bit in tailwheel. I kind of feel like I've extended the process a little bit longer than maybe I needed to. Because I realized I just wanted to get... I wanted to experience all of that, but by the end, I'm like, I just want my license so bad so I can go off and learn this stuff on my own without the pressures of the certificate in front of me.
Sure.
So I'm not sure if I would have not done the Cub, but I think I have to go back and do some things over again. But it also taught me a lot of really great skills when I moved into the 172 as well. So, mm-hmm.
Like what? What comes to
like
mind?
Like I know how to use rudders yeah. pretty well.
Yeah, well, you almost have to. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It, so you made it. Honestly, I didn't think you were going to get it done before.
Oh, gosh. My God. Because it went from, I believe the previous poster, at least the one I read prior to saying I passed, was just this very down on yourself, I'm never going to pull this off type of post that went on for like a page about and honestly, that's, again, from that perspective, being the outsider to this process, that was some of the most interesting stuff to read. Yes, you get down on yourself a little bit, but... you're talking about what went wrong and why that was important to you and why, that needed to change. And then suddenly, so I read this diatribe, essentially, of it was horrible. I'm never going to pass this type of post. And then the next thing that shows up is, here I am, I got it. Big smiley face, and you're standing next to your...
I was just teasing. No, I had no idea this was going to happen before AirVenture.
I had no idea you were going to take it before AirVenture
either.
Well,
I didn't want to tell people.
I get it.
I was afraid if I failed right before AirVenture, that's all I would hear about.
Well, you know how that would go. You'd post, hey, I'm going to take my check ride, and then you fail, and you don't want to talk about it, and don't post it.
Happens.
Everyone's going to ask you,
exactly.
How'd it go?
Oh,
I failed.
Yeah, exactly. So, but like a week and a half before, my instructor just calls me one night and he's like, hey, don't hate me, but I scheduled your check right on the 16th. And I'm like, and I still had so much to finish yet. I'm like, and that's days before Air Venture. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Because you're not busy. I mean, right? There's nothing going on in your life at the time.
But it was like, I was so glad he did it because he pushed both of us to do what we needed to do to get done. And it weather thankfully worked out because after that day, everything went kind of downhill. So weather-wise.
Well, you seem to be fighting weather throughout the process because
I'm basically
that
a
was probably the most common thread of post was, you know, oh, can't fly again today, damn weather. And yep. Well, it's too cold, it's too windy, it's too wet.
Talking about gutsy, I mean, she was up in the winter flying the Cub,
yeah.
which that is never a good idea.
No. I did do that way backwards.
Yes.
Yeah. Wait till it's warm to fly the Cub.
I know. Or
at least wait, or fly something that has a heater.
I know.
Anything.
It was painful, and gassing up was the worst.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine.
So as a newly minted pilot, what's next? Are you going to ride this out for a while, or are we like all gung-ho because we're in that moment of learning, and I'm going to go get my IFR, and I'm going to go from there?
I don't know, but I realized
I asked you this, actually. Yeah. So what's next? Instrument? Just like, I don't know.
Well, I didn't think I would do that at all because I'm really afraid of that, of instrument, because I hear how hard it is. And this, getting my license was so hard and studying sucks. But I already realized I'm kind of bored, so I mm-hmm. probably will be moving past.
Well, you can rack up some, you know, endorsements.
Yeah. Yes.
Tail wheel you've got. You know, the high power and the complex stuff.
Yeah.
Multi, there you go. You
maybe.
Let me see here. Yeah, you can go multi before you go instrument.
I've heard. Yeah. I don't know.
Most people do it
why.
The other way
I mean,
around.
If you're bored, there's more things to do in there.
Yes.
I guess I could not manage. Do flying stuff, but that doesn't sound
no,
fun.
No, that doesn't sound like you at all. Hey, well, you're going to stick around for the next segment.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take over Hal's
absolutely.
Segment.
But we'll be back in a bit. This is the Morning Pre-Flight on EAA Radio.